Right, and like a skeleton with like a medieval helmet with fire coming out of its eyes and a sword through its chest. Yeah.
Like a sleepy girl that turns into a dragon in front of your eyes.
Let's just keep going.
Welcome to New Game Plus. You're listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game, and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
Whoa!
That's you forgot Nolan.
Yeah, you're actually supposed to say your name there.
What?
Yeah. So, I think you got it confused thinking that we were making noises there.
I thought y'all's noises were a little weird.
I'm not sure we've done this enough times yet for him to know how it works.
I'm Dustin, that was Kenny, and the noise was Nolan, and this is episode 167. And last week, a new Netflix original series released based on a popular media franchise from the mid-80s to early 90s. It at least started as video games, but it spanned a whole bunch of different things by the end of its run. It might not mean much to you, but for me, who was originally sucked into the world, time, and space of the red-cloaked spy known as Carmen Sandiego, this is somewhat appealing. Have you heard that Carmen Sandiego got a new series? Have
what
you seen any of it?
What in the world?
Okay,
yeah, I didn't know
I
that
hate
either.
You. No, Nolan, don't let him do it. You were going to acknowledge that it was bad.
I know it was, but I'll keep going. No, I didn't know that was a thing, Dustin.
And are they releasing that here in America?
Okay.
I mean, there's like 12 different ones that they do, like USA, America, Where in Time, Where in Space.
I'll let the punchlines.
I'd heard of it. I played the games back in the day, and then I even watched the original television show that was like a game show type thing. Was it a game show? I don't remember.
Yeah,
but,
it was. And the kids had to run and put the little flag on the thing, and it was the whole thing.
Yeah, and so you watched some too, Kenny?
Absolutely. A lot of the show and played a lot of the game too.
Nolan, I'm guessing, but I'm often corrected on this.
You're wrong.
That you are a boy?
You're wrong. I watched the show, believe it or not,
really?
But I didn't play the games, but
none
I did
games.
Watch the game show. Yeah.
See, I still have super fond memories of the games. I cannot wait until we play one of the early games. I think Where in Time is the one that I played most, but this show, the animation seems really cool. It seems like a very like kiddie show, which is okay, right?
Sure,
you're trying to teach history, and it was kiddish in the first place.
Does it follow format like of the old one? Is it like game show
No. It's an animated show, and the main character, the protagonist, is Carmen Sandiego.
Really?
Yeah, she still is a spy. She still is a thief, but she is stealing from Vile, the Vile, the like bad company that she was actually a part of, I believe, in the original series. So like she's the good guy, but at the same time she's stealing. So yeah, I don't know.
What in the world?
I don't like it.
Oh, Nolan, that's hilarious.
Thanks. I will watch it, I suppose. I didn't even know this was a thing.
I want to at least give the first episode a watch.
I thought you had started it.
No. I haven't seen anything. I've watched the trailer, and that's about it.
Cool.
So you'll try to give it a watch. I'll try to give it a watch. Kenny, will you commit to anything live on air? No noises. Must
didn't
use
let you
words.
Finish.
That was a word.
It wasn't a word.
Is
it was
a word. 100%. I do not plan on watching it.
Well, if you didn't know about the new series, now you do. So watch it and enjoy episode after episode as that crafty ball of fire rolls right past each and every attempt to stop her. Right down the middle. Rolling right down the middle past both flippers. Like in our retro game of the week, Devil's Crush.
Overview.
If you couldn't tell from the awesome segue, Devil's Crush is a pinball game that came out in 1990 on the TurboGrafx-16.
Which we all had, you know.
Everybody
that was
did.
Common.
Yeah, it was the most popular. It was the only console I got to play as a kid. No, the not nearly as well-known TurboGrafx-16. No. But was later ported to the Sega Genesis, which means it became probably slightly better known. And it is it's a sequel, or at least like a second in a series. It follows after the Alien Crush game that was made by the same developers. Compile put this out, published by NEC on the TurboGrafx and Tengen on Sega Genesis.
But also developed for the Genesis by Technosoft.
Right.
Which, it's been a while. I think it was back episode 55, I believe. But we played Herzog 2, which was Technosoft.
Ooh.
You remember that real time?
Yeah. Oh, I love the concept there? Of that game. Oh, no, I think you're just name dropping because you like saying that game's name.
It's just Herzog 2.
No, that game was interesting, yeah.
Yeah, you remember, it's for the Genesis. It was real-time strategy, and it was a single ship, but it kind of worked.
Interesting company.
It kind of did. The concept was good. I feel like I was bad at it, which is the only reason that it was frustrating. But yeah, this is a pinball title, and kind of interesting take. Does a few things with, like, multiple levels of play. And that's Devil's Crush.
A pinball, it seems like pinball would be all the way across the board. It's just a ball that's hitting bumpers and then, you know, going with your flippers, like, big deal. But the themes of these pinball games is what either makes them interesting or not.
It's true.
And with Devil's Crush, you've got this, like, Devil May Cry, dark demon aesthetic.
Yeah, kind of monsters and occultish sort of stuff.
Yeah, I would liken it to, like, Castlevania, maybe, like that vibe, except it's over the top, but I feel intentionally so, and I guess we can talk about that, but, like, yeah, well, sure, it's cultish.
I think its predecessor, Alien Crush, was kind of more of the sci-fi type stuff. Obviously, Alien Crush, right? Mm-hmm, but it was still dark and kind of demonic. And then with Devil's Crush, they went the devil, demon, dark, like,
your
skeletons.
They sort of did. The kind of main, like, head thing that you end up attacking in the middle doesn't look like a devil to me. It looks much more like a dragon.
Same thing.
They really should have named
I know what he's doing. I know what he's doing. Stop.
I caught it a little bit too late.
I mean, they should have called it Dragon's Fury.
Okay, you're right. And good thing that they did. When it was ported to the Sega Genesis, they retitled it Dragon's Fury, probably trying to get away a little bit from the demonic, devilish aesthetic for a family console.
Well, they also censored out pentagrams, too.
Right. They did a few different things. So Kenny got in a wannabe segue. I don't know why he's trying to up my segue game.
Here's
the deal. You're better at segues, but I own dad jokes of every variety.
Mom jokes.
Also those.
This game was originally called Devil Crash in Japan, but everywhere else from its original release on the TurboGrafx-16 was Devil's Crush, and that's what we're going with. But when it was ported to Sega Genesis just a year or two later, it was called Dragon's Fury, or Devil Crash MD in Japan. Yeah, so a ridiculous, like, number of names that this game went by, with only slight modifications on these different versions. I got to play both the TurboGrafx-16 and the Sega Genesis version this week. And the cool thing is that it's super comparable. When you see both games, you know exactly that it's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's just with the Genesis, they were able to up the graphics a little bit, up some of the music production, up just some of the things, but pretty much the game, everything else is pretty much the same.
You know, usually with this many ports, like, you see all the publishers and there's two different developers and, like, 30 names, you'll end up with, like, three different games altogether.
Yeah, totally different
games. Yeah, it's kind of interesting that this one's not that. Like, they're all very similar.
And I like that. I've always found it weird to have one game under one title be three or four different. We've played many times on this It even frustrates me when there's a Sega Genesis version of the game and a Super Nintendo version of the game.
Yeah.
And it's this, but it's the same title and it's just a different, I don't even like that. And we've done a lot of that here on the podcast, especially early on.
Gameplay.
Can I say up front that I find it very odd that I think we've only played two pinball games
in
since we've had a podcast.
Yep, this and Pokemon Pinball.
And both were in like 2 or 3 months of one another.
Oh yeah, that was kind of recent. Kenny wasn't here for Pokemon Pinball.
But he still played it, right? Didn't he do the first play? Or am I thinking of something different?
No, I played Pokemon Pinball. Right.
And so he played it. He didn't get a record with us. But we played the only two pinball games in close proximity to one another. And so there's going to be some comparison and contrast here, at least from me. And one of the huge things here is in Pokemon Pinball, there were two different levels. And in Devil's Crush, there's three different levels with flippers on each level. And you shoot the ball out, as always, and it comes to the second level, starts on the second level. And there's only a few ways to get it back up to the higher level. So if you ever end up on the first level, you're most likely going to lose your ball.
Yeah. I'm gonna be that total nuanced guy and completely disagree with how you described them, but for good reason. I don't think Pokemon Pinball had two separate levels. I think it had one big pinball playing field that just happened to not fit on the screen, and so it awkwardly jumped back and forth to show you the top half and the bottom half of the field. This one, literally, you have like different playing fields as you jump between those three tiers. And you did describe this, but like I just
so it, do it again.
Right. It was more how Pokemon Pinball doesn't have
You are right. But the most startling thing in Pokemon Pinball is that your camera didn't follow the ball. It only stayed on the screen, on the area that your ball was,
which was terrible.
In Devil's Crush, praise God, the camera follows the ball, so you aren't stuck on one of the three levels at any given time. It's very smooth scaling following that ball to the different levels. And I know that sounds like, duh, it should happen that way. Whoa. But there are pinball video games that do not do that. And I think that's a big discussion that we had in the last episode about a pinball game and that we'll have in this one. Emulating a pinball game is always going to be difficult.
Yeah, it's a totally different thing. Like, if you've ever played a pinball game, which I'm realizing that a lot of people listening probably maybe haven't played an actual pinball game before, I feel like this one behaves the way you would expect a video game version of a pinball to feel. And it has everything to do with the camera. And it's something that I didn't think of. But yeah, when we played Pokemon, I was like, okay, this is not even pinball anymore. Like, I don't know what's going on.
And it's a huge deal. I don't know if you guys remember me saying it, because I didn't record the episode with you, but I shared some thoughts afterwards. I said that I don't think pinball can probably ever work. What I said was, I don't think any pinball game that jumps between two screens and doesn't have the entire field on one screen could ever work. I believed that after how bad the other game was. And Devil's Crush totally changed my opinion of whether that can happen or not.
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, it's set up in three different levels, but it's one pinball board. I don't know if that's the terminology there, but they in Pokemon Pinball and in some other video game pinball games, you've got a few different kinds of boards to play, you know, a few different tables. I think that might be a more appropriate description. In Devil's Crush, you only have one, but as you play and you get these multipliers and you get these I don't know, there's a lot of things to do on the stage because there's enemies that are coming out and there's different portals and all of these different things, but every once in a while, and I'm not sure how, and I don't even know if there's a description online of all the ways to actually get to these levels. There are, I believe, a total of 6 bonus stages that are various kinds of boss battles on a different table altogether.
Yes, and that's the part that I thought was super sick. Like, because pinball to me is boring as a game concept, as a video game concept.
And I kind of agree with you.
It's a boring topic to me.
Yes. If you do it in the arcade and you have that tactile response and all of the ding, 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 and all of that, then it's probably fun for a limited amount of time.
That's one thing. But here, they actually made things interesting. And I would describe this board as living. Like, it's active. It's alive. With other pinball games that I've played, it's static. Like, you hit the thing and it makes a little dinging noise and your score goes up. But this one, like, boss fights... we got to talk about those boss fights because they're so cool.
Yeah, they really are neat, and they give you enough variety. And Dustin, to answer your question, there is lists online of how to get to them. I looked it up this week. But like, they not only give you a bunch of boss fights, but they give you a couple of different ways in most of the cases to get to those fights. So if you're somewhat successful at the game, if you're playing long enough to have not felt like a complete failure, you're probably going to get to at least one or two of these bonus stages at some point, on purpose or not. And it adds a lot of, I don't know, it adds more depth that you have something else to hunt for. You have something else to look at. It gives them a chance to play some different music, all the things, and for your play style to kind of not be as monotonous as sometimes pinball games can be.
Well, and then also the way that those fights are working, like, it's kind of hard to imagine how a boss fight on a pinball game would work, but you're damaging the boss with the ball, and
his minions or his shields or something like that.
Right. But then it's like, okay, well, how's that different? How's that a boss fight? Because you don't have health. Like, you know what I mean? When you fight a boss, you're usually a character with health. Well, he's trying to knock the ball into the hole.
And right. So, you have one health. You have one hit point.
Right. It's ball going through flippers. Yeah.
Which adds pressure to it. And those boss fights are really stressful for me. But I thought the designs of each one, each one was unique.
And it was beautiful or eerie or danger. And the bosses themselves all operated differently.
They had different phases.
One is a multi-headed dragon that's spewing fire at you. And so if your ball hits the fire, it reacts and shoots it back down, hopefully towards that middle hole. But then you've got another one that's these three different skeleton heads. And then another one altogether is just a slew of enemies that come out at you.
That one was cool,
And then one is this Final Fantasy last boss type creature, this epic angel demon-esque type thing. And I don't know, all of them, you do the same thing, right? You hit them with the ball, but the way that it presents it to you is so varied.
You say you just hit them with the ball, but it's totally different. In some, you have to strategically take out a number of small minions first before you can even kill the boss. In some, you're only clearing out waves of small minions, but it at on certain places in the board. And the fact that they were able to do a pinball game and have elements of it that I will say actually took some, I'll even call it strategy, some critical thinking as to what was going on, not just hit it, don't die, was super, super cool to me.
It's also important to say that on every single one of these bonus stages, it's not the three level thing anymore as the primary stage. It's just a one level, one screen, one small environment. And if I haven't said already, very difficult. Often I would get two hits before the enemy would send the ball right down the middle and I'd go back to the main stage.
I also think we should point out, just in terms of gameplay, we've talked about some of the unique things about this game, multi-levels, although even that sort of is a real thing in actual pinball. But and how some of the waves of enemies and things make it feel a little bit more video gamey than a normal pinball game. But I also think this does a really good job of still being classic pinball. You're still looking for multipliers. You're still trying to hit your ball into the certain holes. You're still unlocking extra lives in certain ways and going for bonus points. And
going
it's still
for the high score.
Still going for the high score hunt generally. And so it sits somewhere kind of nicely in the middle.
But it is pinball in that regard, but Nolan, how you said that it was a living pinball game, I think that's a very good description, because on the main stage, there are waves of enemies at certain levels. There are there's the iconic, and Kenny, you kind of mentioned this earlier as you're just simply using it for an excuse to make a bad segue or something like that. But there is this iconic woman's head in the middle of the board on the second level. And at first, she's this beautiful woman that's asleep, actually. And as you hit it over time, she wakes up and slowly transforms into this grotesque beast, demon beast or dragon beast, if you're playing the Sega Genesis version. And that is so iconic. I feel like I didn't even know the game before coming into it this week, but I will always be able to, if I ever see that image, I will always know what it's connected to now because it's so unique.
Yeah, that might have to be my new Discord profile pic. It's super sick.
And I think that is the, like, the distorted image of that woman is the artwork on the original, like, Devil's Crush Turbo Graphics cover art, whatever that's called.
Yeah, because the other one's, like, kind of lame. It looks like a dragon. It looks weird. Like, the cover art that I'm looking at, it's not the one you're talking about. And it looks like a different kind of game. They were talking about it in Discord today. Well, I guess it was the other day, but they were saying that in episodes like this or games like this, we should bring our high scores to the episode. And I didn't tell you guys, but I have mine.
No. I don't know if you guys remember. I can make something up. No, wait, I took a screenshot of my highest. I can pull that up.
Okay, do that.
What's yours?
Mine, I mean, it's low because honestly, I wasn't that great at this game, but it was 6,324,000.
6 million?
Yeah.
Well, that's way higher than anything I got.
Yours was in the millions?
Yeah, two.
Oh.
I got 2.5 million. I'm not good that's at cute. This. I'm not...
I didn't feel like I was good at this game, but I didn't pay attention to where scores were other than, like, I made it onto the top of the top five, but that's easy. Yeah, like, that's just at the million mark. Yeah, it's silly. And so I think I probably lived somewhere in between you guys because I did not feel good at this lower. Game.
You're probably low.
Probably lower than mine, but...
I probably didn't even break 100 points.
Freaking Papa Emeritus 3 in Discord has 100 or has 15 million.
15 million?
Oh.
15.6 million.
Like, you can beat this game. I don't know if you guys saw any of that online, but yeah, you can max out the points, which is kind of winning the game. Wait. It stops and like there's an in-screen animation million. If you get to the billion point mark.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. So that's how you beat the game? It's not by beating the six bonus stages?
No.
Oh, no, that's beating the game. I think Kenny's saying like you get an extra thing if you break.
You're not getting an in-game screen until at least on like the TurboGrafx version. I mean, I clearly didn't beat it. Like this was just researching other people play. So, but my understanding is not you beat the six things and you get an in-game screen. It's you can beat the six things and then beat them over and over again and rack up your score. You got to play for probably 45 minutes to an hour straight, hit that billion point mark if you want to get in-screen, at least in one version. My understanding, and I didn't look at this, but from just having read something, my understanding is in the Genesis version, if you get to actually, like, quote, beat the game, it then gives you like an additional boss level of some kind at the end, which would be really cool if that's the case.
That's super cool. That's something worth fighting for. Like if you know that that's there.
Yeah,
like
and that's part of the problem with pinball games to me. And what I appreciated not only about the like little mini bosses, but that I felt like there was more to do than just the point hunt. That's enough for some people, but it's not. And having whether it's an end screen goal or like an additional boss to unlock, having anything other than I just got the highest score, what's your score, is helpful to me to feel engaged in a game. Though
instantly putting those six bosses there, you've got six new goals, right?
Yep,
or just one major goal, and it's beat each of those bosses because it marks it in your game when you've completed one of those bonus stages.
Yep.
And so like that's a whole nother thing. Like you're saying, Kenny, most pinball, I'll get on. Whether I enjoy it or not, I feel like I've experienced it in 10 minutes.
Right.
And that's that's like
it's a flaw with the type of game. Like
right. Yeah, unless you're really into it, you're gonna fight that. And I fought that a little this week. That at first it was really fun getting to know it and kind of figure out how things work and that there were secrets and, you know, what unlocked what and how to get bonuses going up and how to flip the little thing so that you had some of your little safeties in place. I don't know if you guys ever got those, but like the little blocker in the middle where the ball can't go through. Figuring that stuff out was fun, but then once you have, it's a little bit repetitious.
Yeah, but you're saying it even here in this game, and I can understand what you're saying, but I think that this game offers a lot more than some of your other pinball games to where 100%. Either that doesn't happen as fast, or if it is repetition in some areas, well, there's some other tasks that you can go for. I mean, alone that it is not only the high score that I'm fighting for, but there's other things to fight for, gives it replay value to me. I played this game probably more than any other pinball game I've ever played in my life, other than maybe the space one, and that's just because my internet was shoddy back in the
right,
day.
Yeah.
And I think another thing that's really nice about this one, at least the Genesis version, I think it's in the TurboGrafx version too, is that you've got passwords. And if you're ever struggling, then you got cheat codes, and those will help you either advance stages or get extra balls. Because naturally in game, like most pinball games, you can get a bonus ball or something like that, but you're limited on how many balls you have. But with cheat codes, you could get 99 balls, or you can change the main table music, or you can play any one of the bonus stages.
You can?
Interesting. You can actually, a really cool thing on the Genesis version is that you can play songs from some of their previous games, like Thunder Force 2 or Herzog 2.
That's kind of cool. Oh
my gosh.
Is that not super cool?
Yo, developers, shout outs. That's dope.
And yeah, so that's super cool. And for someone like me, so I played the game naturally for a lot of times and just kept not raging or anything, but just getting frustrated because I would lose. Sometimes I would honestly shoot my ball out, and before a flipper hit it, it would go down on the side or down the middle. Just a perfect trajectory. Yeah. So it was nice to eventually be able to put in the code, have 99 balls, and then be able to play at my leisure.
It is also worth pointing out that you do have a couple of options in terms of gameplay. You can play at a slower ball speed than the default. The default's like a fast speed, and there is a slower speed that you can play at. There is also the ability built in, like pretty prominently, since it's one of your sort of primary buttons, to do a little like table bump. But with all games, if you overdo it, you'll end up tilting. And so it was nice that they put in a little bit of, I don't know, just some choices.
Aged.
I think we should start off the aged section by talking about the tone of the game and the demonic route that they took, because that's not a very common, maybe it is, but it's not really a common theme nowadays, I feel like. No, and back in the 90s, it totally was. Yeah,
it's totally early 90s.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we see it again. I mentioned Devil May Cry. I think we see it in some places, and you even mentioned Castlevania. And I know that's not today, right? But I think it's still appreciated by a generation, probably the generation that enjoyed it back in the 90s.
I think that's probably it. But it's got this game specifically has this like intentionally metal, like, you know how heavy metal, death metal is just over the top with like topless women slaying dragons behind a fiery pit, you know, like,
right, and like a skeleton with like a medieval helmet with fire coming out of its eyes and a sword through its chest,
like a sleepy girl that turns into a dragon in front of your eyes.
Let's just keep going. And then like a gnome that has a sword made of blood, I
flesh.
Don't know. So there's this intentional, ludicrous thing that they did. Like, it's intentional. It's on purpose. Like, I'm not offended in the slightest. I think it's awesome, actually, and I think it's a lot of fun to. They're not making fun of that. I don't. Maybe they were, but it's just so on point for the 90s. Like that edgy demonic thing.
No, they're not making fun of it. They're having fun with it.
Sure, I think that's what it is. Yeah.
Like, I think that there are people that enjoy this kind of aesthetic and have fun with it. And I think it happens here. Like, it is dark in theme, but it's not just like a, like, it's not like it's a shadow, a dark shadow that's covering the board. Like it's still crisp in color, mm-hmm. and it's still like it looks very good. Yes, on the Sega Genesis for sure, but you've got, you know, pop in color there on pretty much any game yeah. that you play there. But even on the TurboGrafx, it doesn't have as much color and it doesn't have as much pop, but some of the same character and charm and the quality of the sprite work and animation, it's all there on both versions, and it's super impressive. And I think what goes hand in hand with like the art design and the aesthetic there is the music. You said kind of heavy metal, and I think that they go kind of that direction with the music as well.
Yeah, they do, which is good. It needs to match tone of what's going yeah. on, and it does. And I think they did the one thing that's most important in a game like this to me, and somehow gave us music that wasn't terrible to listen to somewhat repetitively. Because, like,
yeah,
you sit down and you play a game like this that's a repetitive kind of game, and if you get something that's a short or a really terrible loop, it's just going to be awful. But this game had good music to listen to.
Yeah, it's not just that it was tolerable or that it worked or that it fit the tone. I think the actual tracks are super quality and super good.
Yes, I thought the music was beautiful.
Yes.
Like, it really was, and it was so engaging and so on point for the aesthetic, the artful, the you know, like what we've already talked about and what it looks like. They were able to accomplish that along with keeping the energy up and connecting mm-hmm. that it's a pinball game. Like, they do that, and then they've even got some of those voice, not animations, but they've got those voice little voiceovers yeah. too. When there's this character, I'm just thinking on the main board in the top left. If you hit him over yeah. and over again, yeah. he says something. I don't mm-hmm. know, but you've got these few different voice commands too that are very old school video gamey, like very crunchy in the mm-hmm. audio there. But again, super on par with what they're trying to portray here.
Crunchy's a really good word.
It just general, like,
flowed out of me.
Yeah, it's almost onomatopoeia. It's just a good, crunchy sound effects. I love it.
I do think that with pinball, trying to emulate it on any kind of like home console, you're always going to miss that kind of tactile response that you get in the arcade with pinball. Thankfully, there's a lot of other things that we've already talked about, qualities and characteristics of this game that help to cover up some of the lack of that you might feel. But I still think that shows up here as well. It's difficult at times to emulate pinball when you're not playing on a pinball machine, with whether it's the strength with which you hit the ball or where you're aiming the ball. Sometimes the aim is off. Sometimes the ball's trajectory is off. Sometimes the ball hits a wall and just goes somewhere you completely didn't expect it to go. And to be fair, that's sometimes in the arcade pinball game as well.
Yeah.
But I still think you've got more control when it's an actual physical mechanical thing that's happening in an arcade instead of just like a controller trying to digitize reality.
Sure. I'd agree. And I think if like poorly done, that can be even worse. But the hurdle versus like something real and tactile is a real one. I was glad, though, that in this one you could get a feel for things at least. It didn't feel random. It wasn't like you were just swinging at the ball randomly. You could get to where you knew the physics well enough to intentionally aim for things and try and be hitting it in the right place. And yeah, sometimes that's just chaos. That's pinball. But it's not like it was terrible. It's just not real life.
Yeah. And I think this is where I see VR helping genres like this. Like, you would need something physical in your hands to get the tactileness. So, like, I don't know, the Switch Joy-Cons, for example, which probably wouldn't be a good controller for that. But like,
I think it would.
I do think that VR has a place, even though I've always been skeptical of it. And I think that, like, bringing back some of the what was lost in translation with, like, pinball and maybe some other genres out there, maybe VR can help a little bit. But I feel you, like, but I will say that I think out of all the pinball games that were made into video games, and I haven't played them all, but the ones that I've played, this one is amazing and better than real life pinball.
I will just say that the only, I will play VR pinball when I'm the pinball.
When you're the pinball?
I want VR where I'm rolling over and over and over again, being slammed by flippers and slamming into everything. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's when I'll
We'll do the multiplayer version where I can play and control the flippers.
No, you're the right flipper. Nolan's the left flipper.
No, I'm the head in the middle of the stage.
And you're the ball.
You're the beautiful woman. Kenny's the
and
flippers.
I get to sleep
I'm
the
whole ball.
Time.
And we'll TM trademark that game. You can't take it from us. Goodbye.
It's rated X.
Final thoughts. At the end of each and every one of our episodes, we determine whether or not this game gets our vote for New Game Plus status, which is our general thumbs up or thumbs down, requires 2/3 of the votes to swing one way or another. I'll begin this week by saying Devil's Crush / Devil Crash / Dragon's Fury / Devil Crash MD, medical
well
doctor,
summed up,
is... It was a great transition, Nolan's statement, into this summary section, because I've never had as much fun playing pinball.
Mm-hmm.
We've played one other pinball game on this podcast, and we could play 100 more, and I'll put in 10 minutes and want to be done. Now, yep. Of course, I'll come back to it a few more times during the week because I have to, because I am doing a podcast. It's what I signed up for. But I was... never begrudgingly coming back to this game this week. I started it up many times just to enjoy the music, just to enjoy the experience. I was never completely bummed out when it was game over because I could just boot it up again. That there was enough things to do so that when you were being successful, you felt progression. But when you were not being successful, you didn't feel like you were just losing all progression either. And then throw in any kind of cheat codes that helps the game play easier, or like Kenny had mentioned earlier, even slow down the ball if you need to. It just, there's not limitless replay value with this game, and but there is replay value. I never would have thought that I would give a pinball game on a console my vote for New Game Plus status, but Devil's Crush gets it proudly. 2 thumbs up from me.
I'll agree with that. It's such a fun game. It's basically an adventure game. Like, it's not even pinball. It's there's so much going on.
Kind of is, yeah.
That it gives you just, like, it's pleasing to look at because there's so much going on. Like, it's just pretty lights going, flashing. But then it's like, throw me in a boss room real quick and let me figure out this boss's patterns and mechanics. Like, and then get right back to the main game, quote unquote, on the main playing field. Come on. Like, there's variety, and it's beyond a pinball game. It's a good game. Pinball games aren't fun. This is beyond that. And given the tone, does Devil's Crush get New Game Plus? Hell yeah.
That is to and hell because devils, mom. So that is that's 2 affirmatives. Kenny, your vote doesn't matter.
It doesn't in the least. But I'll echo some of the things you guys said to some degree. I generally am not a huge fan of pinball, just across the board. Even I used to think I liked it as a kid, like in real life, but then I never had fun playing a pinball machine. And so I just don't think I like pinball. I really, really was turned off by how terrible Pokemon pinball was, and absolutely thought any game that ever tries to do this and jumps the screen around, I just can never, ever like ever. And I was glad that this game proved me wrong. It not only had the mechanics in place, like this really, really smooth screen scrolling and ball tracking, but did nail it on tone and had lots of fun elements that made it feel like you were still kind of playing a video game, but that was also pinball. And it was well done, and I'm thoroughly shocked to be in the same camp as you guys, but New Game Plus all the way around.
Nice.
Who would have thought?
Like, dude, not me. I know, like, it's so random.
And I never would have expected us to enjoy pinball game altogether. And then for this one, like, if you just look at it, I still might be turned off. You know, again, that dark aesthetic is not my cup of tea, but then it just works.
When you announced what the game was last week in the randomizer, it was a collective sigh from all of us. We were like, okay,
dang it.
Fine.
Pinball.
Dude, that's such a sick turnaround, though. I'm on board. I love
it. If you're going to play a pinball game, play Devil's Crush. It's one of my biggest surprises in New Game Plus history.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. It's definitely surprising. It's still a pinball game. People may still get a little tired of it. You know, it's not perfect or
the best game we've ever
played, but it certainly earns its title because they made a good game.
It's multiple titles. Devil's Crush, Devil Crash, Dragon's Fury, and Devil's Crash MD is New Game Plus certified. We got one comment from one of our friends, Daniel. He said, Devil's Crush is really beautiful and dark. The only thing that annoys me are the digital voices interrupting the good heavy metal music. When you lose a ball, the music starts from the beginning, so you can't hear the full song. I really enjoyed playing this game despite there's only one table, and I would encourage anyone interested in the game to play the Genesis version as it maintains the integrity of the original while upgrading a few features.
Wow, what a great suggestion. I agree 100%.
Well said.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to miss anything by playing the Genesis version. You're still going to get the retro feel, but while having a few quality of life improvements, why not?
Yeah, and I think it was also ported to the Wii Virtual Console. So yeah, it's
and
even
the PlayStation Network.
Oh, nice. Oh, okay, yeah. So you can play it.
So there's probably some ways to play. Very easy to emulate as well. Once again, we encourage you to do so. And each and every week, like Daniel, you can write in your thoughts and commentary on the Retro Game of the Week. We'd love to include it as a part of our show. You can either email us at ngppodcast@gmail.com or join us on Discord, and there's a commentary channel there just for you. But for now, we're putting Devil's Crush to the side, and we're going to play a non-pinball title. Hopefully. Right?
It's random. We might.
We're going to play a non-pinball title for the next 7 days out of our retro master list. Near 1,000 games, user submitted, 15 years old or older, randomly selecting now. Come with me to the year 1987, young lads.
I'm scared already.
Oh, and
we're going to be playing a Nintendo Entertainment System video game. Mm-hmm. It was developed by Rare.
Oh, are you serious?
It was published by Acclaim.
We've played every Rare game there is.
That's a platforming video game.
Okay. I like all that. Tell me.
Set in a world of both wizards and warriors.
I love this. Keep going.
Okay, we're going to be playing Wizards and Warriors. It's a video game called Wizards and Warriors for the NES, Rare and Acclaim.
How early is that? That's got to be early, Rare.
87-ish. Just spitballing.
Yeah, spitballing because I said it twice. It looks so medieval. Not medieval, we played that one. It looks so medieval, and I don't know what to expect outside of a Rare and Acclaim. I've got to think that it's going to be great. But
dope platformer, that's what.
The way that it looks, like what I'm looking at now, doesn't look appetizing, but we'll find out.
Whoops. Hey, you may have heard by now, but we have a Discord, and you're welcome to join us because it's free to you. So go to Twitter, click on the Discord link in our bio, and join us in Discord. We also have NGP shirts. We launched them at the beginning of the year. There are 4 different shirts, and they're really cool. 2 of them are inside jokes to the podcast. The other 2 are just really cool designs made by our friend Hookshot.
You listen to this on the week that the episode was released, they are on sale for 30% off right now, so make sure to get one. Boom. And you can get some very fine material type shirts. It's double the cost. Ask Kenny about it if you want to know.
Yes, you can. Here's the deal. I keep
he
it
has
real
sensitive pits.
When it comes to t-shirts. And I keep it real when it comes to saying thanks.
But you don't have to.
Big thanks to all of our producer-level supporters that hook us up with some Patreon support month to month. Specifically, Bill, Zion, Gimbarino, Dear Baby, and Alex. You guys are awesome. Also, a big, big thank you to Thomas, who is a new supporter on Patreon. Thomas. Appreciate it.
Thomas, welcome to the family, good sir.
Welcome to Devil's Crush.
As always, you can find us on social media. That's Facebook, Twitter, and Twitch at NGP Podcast. You can find us on our YouTube channel as well, New Game Plus Podcast. This week, we will put out a first play where one of us play Wizards and Warriors. Is that what it's called? For the very first Warlocks. Time. So make sure to stop by our YouTube channel. Check that out. Give it a thumbs up, like, and subscribe. Hit that bell notification.
Smash that.
Oh, my goodness.
Make sure you listen to us directly on any podcast provider of your choice. Subscribe so that you are the first to get new NGP episodes. And while you're at it, leave a kind rating and review. This episode, as always, was edited and produced by our friend Tom Tate. Join us next week as we play the rare and acclaimed game, Wizards and Warriors. Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm Kenny.
He's never going to give his name properly.
He's just done.
Like.
We actually only have two people on this podcast now.
And this has been New Game Plus.
He's got sensitive nips. All right. Oh, are we ready?
I want that to be the big
intro.
Just, he's got sensitive nips.
Yeah, nothing else. Just
and then no context. That would make no sense.